688-8833.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and good morning. Welcome. How are you? It's a pleasure to have you here on a Monday. Monday, the 7th of June, or June 7th. I'm glad today's Monday because it's going to be a good week. So, shall we start? We're going to start this week with a very, very important question. Philosophical. It requires a lot of philosophical debate. Are ties necessary? No, they're not. All right. So as you can see, the question perhaps is not philosophical, but it's important. We can talk about ties. We'll come back to this question. Are ties necessary? No, they're not. If you had a magic wand, would you use it to make the English language disappear? No, I wouldn't. Can you bend over and touch the floor without bending your knees? Yes, I can. Were the ancient Greeks experts in aviation? No, they weren't. Is weightlifting an Olympic sport? Yes, it is. Does a revolver have a trigger? Yes, it does. Can water penetrate through rocks? No, it can't. Usually. But there are some rocks in which it can. Does it take a long time to master a second language? Yes, it does. Are you a plumber? No, I'm not. Is baseball the most popular sport in Venezuela? Yes, it is. All right. Let's go back. Are ties necessary? No, they're not. They're not necessary. But people wear ties, right? Yes, but they wear ties for aesthetic purposes or simply because it's the fashion among men. And sometimes women who are dressing formally or semi-formally. Basically, there are two, as far as I know, there are two types of ties. Normal ties, dress ties, and bow ties. B-O-W, bow means lazo. O sea, corbata lazo, which is pajarita. Bow ties are usually worn when somebody is wearing a tuxedo, a dinner jacket, or something like that, what you call un frac. Un smoking. A smoking jacket. I don't think we say smoking jacket. I've heard it before. A smoking jacket. Un smoking. I mean, it comes from English, the word is smoking. Smoking jacket. I've heard it before. A smoking jacket. Yes. Smoking jacket. Now, in Spanish, I don't know what it's called. In Italiano, yo lo llaman. Ghiaccia da fumo. Ghiaccia. Ghiaccia da fumo. All right, smoking jacket. I don't know. Smoking jacket is an informal men's style of lounge jacket. Okay, so it's not formal. Originally intended for tobacco smoking. Okay. Now, you have the word unesmoking, but I don't think it's the same thing. Unesmoking. Black tie. All right. Yes, sir. Black tie is a semi-formal. That's interesting. It's a semi-formal Western dress code for evening events. Corbata negra. Black tie. Here in Spain, people wear a black tie if they are in mourning. To be in mourning, no está por la mañana. In the morning, no. The spelling is different. M-O-U-R... ing, mourning, means in de luto. He is in mourning, means él está de luto. And here in Spain, the men wear black ties. In the United States, I think probably the same. However, black ties can be worn for other occasions, not only from when you are in mourning. Black tie is a semi-formal. This is semi-formal. Formal sería, I don't know, with a tuxedo. Yes. And the dress code, the código de vestirse, the dinner suit, dinner jacket. Black tie is a semi-formal Western dress code for evening events, originating in British and American conventions for attire in the 19th century. In British English, the dress code is often referred to by its principal element for men, the dinner jacket or dinner suit. In American, the equivalent term is tuxedo or tux. I'm going to rent a tux. A dinner suit is a black or midnight blue three-piece suit, two- or three-piece suit, etc., etc., etc. In the U.S., we say tuxedo. But in Spain, I don't, you say un frac, I think. Frac. Frac. F-R-A-C. Strange word. Frac. Strange, strange word. And I can't find it here. Let me keep looking. Frac. F el cobrador del frac. All right. The word frac. Yeah, it's strange. El frac es un traje masculino de tipo formal que constituye el tipo de vestuario más formal para el hombre en celebraciones nocturnas. All right. Lleva un frac. What's the origin of the word? I don't know where this word comes from. Now, you have a smoking. Es un traje de noche masculino también. And it comes, I'm sure it comes from the English concept of smoking jacket. But smoking jacket is something you wear at home comfortably, como un batín or something. It's when you dress very, very elegantly, but at home and comfortably. All right. But it's interesting you have el cobrador del frac, which is if, for example, if I don't pay somebody, that person can hire the company and a man will follow me around the city, everywhere I go. A man wearing a tuxedo or a dinner jacket will follow me and wearing a top hat. A top hat is una chistera? Yeah, it's wearing a top hat. And following me around everywhere. And I can't get rid of him until I pay. I don't know if that works. I don't know. You know, it's interesting. Funciona lo del cobrador del frac. I really wonder. All right. Sumisión, perseguir a los morosos hasta que devuelvan su el dinero. Hoy en día esta práctica ha dejado de ser habitual, aunque aún hay alguno que lo utilice. All right. I just don't know. I've seen it recently. I mean, I think about a year ago, I saw a little car and a man driving it. So, I don't know. But if somebody doesn't want to pay you, it's tough. It's really tough to extract the money. And it probably costs more in the end to go through the courts to get the person to pay. It's just, in the end, it's probably better to say, well, the next time I'll be more careful on who I choose as customers or clients, because it's very costly. First, it's really costly when somebody doesn't pay you. What they call here in Spanish, un fallido, which is a bad debt. Mala deuda, is a bad debt. And so you lose a lot of money. And second, if you try to collect it, you start spending money as well, with lawyers or whatever, and time. There's a lot of time. And probably it's better to say, I made a mistake in selling to this customer. I'll never sell to him again, and I will be more careful in the future on who I sell my products or my services to. Of course, it's impossible to be 100% right in judging people. So you will have, if you have your own company, you will suffer fallidos. You will. My company, very, very few over the years. Very, very few. I would say 0.001%. You know, over a period of the last 44 years that the company has existed. Our company is 44 years old. And so, I remember cases that you get very angry when people don't pay or companies don't pay. I think the worst case I remember, and I don't remember many, worst case was a company. And the company didn't pay because the company suspended payments and finally filed for bankruptcy. So the company didn't pay a lot of people, a lot of people, including my company. Personal, I remember one football player didn't pay. And then in our Galician office, another very famous, both of them very famous, another very famous football player didn't pay. But I think he finally ended up paying. But both of them very, very famous. I'm not going to say there. I have said the name of one of them, but I'm not going to do it now. The other one, I'll never say the name. But they claim, bueno, es que yo no di las clases al final. Hombre, contrataste. I mean, if you have a child who goes to school, a private school or a concertado, you know, or semi-private school, and you pay, and then your child is sick for 2 weeks, you can't say, I'm not going to pay you those two weeks. It's with us, too. We assign a teacher, and we pay the teacher. You know, if the student doesn't show up, well, the teacher is covered. We have to cover the security, the financial security of the teacher. The teacher is more important than the student. That's a radical thing to say, but it is true. Your employees are more important than your customers. They are. In my case, teachers and employees. If the employees are happy, the customers will be happy. If the teachers are happy, they'll teach well. Of course, the teachers have to be really good. So, the teachers are more important than the clients. Only on the condition that the teachers are outstanding. If the teacher's not good, out. You're gone. But the teacher has to be really, really good. And then the teacher is more important. A good teacher, happy teacher, success. Because if you don't have a happy teacher, you're not going to have a happy customer. So if you don't take care of your employees, or in my case, the teachers, basically, you're dead. You shouldn't be doing business or managing people and processes. But in any case, the cobra de frac. This is an interesting. Yes. I don't know. It still exists, I know. But you need to be really careful. Thank God I never did business with municipal governments. I don't remember ever doing business with a city hall, los ayuntamientos, because they didn't pay. Y las comunidades. I just don't normally do business with the public sector. On a few occasions I have, and very successfully in one case. And successfully, we're okay. We don't suffer bad debts or entities don't pay. But we never did business with city halls or with gobiernos comunitarios. Because many, many people, many small companies and autónomos, what you call self-employed people, lost their business because of that. Because these city halls just didn't pay. And there were hundreds and hundreds, thousands of invoices in the drawers of these city halls, and they just didn't pay. And people, you know, people lost their shirt. To lose your shirt means perder hasta la camisa. We say perder la camisa. So are ties necessary? No, ties are not necessary, but they are elegant. So I defend. I wear a tie. Nowadays, I used to wear a tie every day. For the first, my God, 30 years, 35 years, I wore a tie. Usually every day. Now I wear a tie maybe once every 2 months. Not too often, but maybe I'll start back. Maybe I'll start back means volver a empezar. Start back. And wearing ties. Ties are very elegant. Will ties be around in 30 years? In the year 2050, will people still wear ties? I think so. Some people, yeah, because they're elegant on men. Men have been wearing, you know, people dress elegantly at certain times. People dress in a very sloppy way nowadays. People are pretty sloppy in their dress, although here in Madrid, quite a few people try to dress nice, the women more than the men, I believe, the girls. Now in the summer, I'm seeing a lot of very nice outfits. Outfits son conjuntos. That ladies and girls wear. They're very nice. Sometimes they're a bit too sexy. I mean, sometimes it's too much. They show too much and like, armadas hasta los dientes están ellas. Enseñando las armas, as they say. Too much. But still, it's usually with good taste. With good taste. Are ties necessary? No, they're not, but I think they will continue to be part of the attire. Attire is atuendo. Escrito atire, doble T. Atire. Attire. For a long time to come. Some people would say, no way, in the year 2050, nobody will wear a tie at the current rate. But I think so. I hope so. But in any case, Richard, if you had a magic wand, would you use it to make the English language disappear? No, I wouldn't, of course. You would, probably. I mean, if you, English learner, if you had a magic wand capable of eliminating from the face of the earth an entire language, would you make abracadabra? Would you make English disappear, the language? So only Spanish. And if the English language disappeared overnight, imagine everybody wakes up tomorrow and nobody speaks English. All the people in the English-speaking world speak, I don't know. Let's say, I don't know. What language do you think they should speak? What language should be the lingua franca of the world starting tomorrow morning? If you had to decide, of course you would decide Spanish because you know Spanish perfectly. But I wonder, maybe a person, you cannot choose your own language. It's a bit like the Eurovision, the songs, you know. Spain cannot include the Spanish concursante in the voting. So you have to vote. What language do you want as the lingua franca of the world? And you choose, but you can't choose your own language. I would think most Spanish-speaking people would choose, I would bet they would choose Italian, because it's phonetically close to Spanish, phonetically, and grammatically. Io sono, yo soy, noi siamo, nosotros somos. Okay, it's quite close. Come sta, como estás? And so it's pretty close. I would bet, if you have to think about it, really, you'd think hard, and then they say, ladies and gentlemen, this is God. Wow, God is speaking to us. Yes, listen, this evening I would like for you to please choose what language you want as the lingua franca of the world for the rest of until eternity, until the judgment day. The judgment day is el día del juicio final. Now, you cannot choose your own language. Fine. So, I would imagine that most Spanish-speaking people would choose Italian. I would bet that most French people would choose Italian as well. Yes. I think most German people would choose English or Dutch. Chinese people would choose... That's a good one. The Chinese people would probably choose... I really don't know. Well, the Mandarin Chinese would maybe choose Cantonese Chinese or Japanese or something. The Japanese, what would they, maybe choose Korean, something that's phonetically close. But that would be a fun. And the English-speaking people... The people in the United States would choose Spanish, definitely. Definitely. They would choose Spanish. But you know, you choose the language and you speak it. If you choose, for example, if you choose Italian, that means starting tomorrow you speak Italian. All right. So that's what language... That would be an interesting election to do. But to have a magic wand, Marita Makinka, if God told me that English is going to disappear and tomorrow, the lingua franca, I would choose French. Because I know French. I have a level 7 in French. I have a B, almost a C1. My French is B1 for listening comprehension and C1 for speaking. So I would probably choose French for that reason. All right, can you bend over and touch? Bend over. Pues agacharte. Es tipo reverencia para tocar el suelo. Can you bend over and touch the floor without bending your knees? Aquí, verbo to bend, doblar twice. Sin doblar las rodillas. Can you bend over and touch the floor without bending your knees? Yes, I can, but not now. I can do it. Give me a few hours, or give me a day to stretch my legs a little bit. And then by tomorrow, I'll be able to bend over and touch the floor with no problem without bending my knees. Okay? To touch the floor, to bend over. Were the ancient Greeks experts in aviation? I know they weren't. Nobody was an expert in aviation until the 20th century. They tried. Even Leonardo da Vinci, he had some drawings about flying machines, but nobody managed to fly until the 20th century because we needed to have engines with enough power to produce lift, to reach the necessary speed for aerodynamic lift, elevación de un aparato. I don't know what speed they reached. What takeoff speed? What takeoff speed did the what was their names? Right, did the Wright brothers reach? I don't know. Though their airspeed was only 31 miles per hour, and their flight was shorter than the length of a modern passenger airline? No. The Wright brothers had achieved the impossible. 3 more flights were made that day, each one longer than the previous. Maximum speed, 30 miles per hour. Yes, but it's not answering my question. My question was the speed at takeoff. The speed at takeoff. On December 17th, 1903. I'm reaching mucho frío, because they did this in North Carolina. It's cold in North Carolina in December. On December 17th, 1903. At 10:35 a.m., Orville Wright lifted off from the launching rail, rail de lanzamiento, at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, and flew for 12 seconds. at an altitude of 8 feet, landing 120 feet away. Something's not. Though their airspeed was only 31 miles per hour, and their flight was shorter than the length of a modern passenger airliner, the Wright brothers had achieved the impossible. Okay. You know, if you're traveling at 30 miles per hour for 12 seconds, I think you cover more than the length of a modern airplane. Come on. I'm going to, you know, when you read something, don't necessarily take for granted what it says. I'm going to calculate that mathematically during the break, maybe, if I have time. But I'm running out of time right now, so I have to take a break. But I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be right back.
Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.
Si tienes hijos entre 4 y 14 años y vives en Madrid, esto te interesa. Este año vuelven los Urban Camps. En los Urban Camps, tus hijos hablarán inglés durante todo el día, sin dar una sola hora de aburridas clases. Aprenderán con juegos y talleres diseñados por nuestro equipo de profesores Vaughan. Cada día con un tema distinto. Crazy Science, un viaje espacial, artes escénicas. Y mientras ellos aprenden inglés divirtiéndose, vosotros, papás y mamás, podréis seguir tranquilamente con vuestras obligaciones en esas semanas sin cole. Horario de 9 de la mañana a 5 de la tarde con posibilidad de ampliación. Comenzamos la última semana de junio y podrás reservar las semanas que necesites hasta final de julio. Los Urban Camps tendrán lugar en diferentes colegios de la Comunidad de Madrid. Así podrás escoger el que mejor te venga. ¿A qué esperas? Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate de todas las opciones que te ofrecemos. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Los Urban Camps de Vaughan.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura 3 meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at grupovaughan.com.
Ya está aquí el Beat for Teens. El Beat for Teens es un programa de inmersión intensiva de domingo a viernes para jóvenes entre 15 y 18 años, en grupos de 6 alumnos como máximo. Mejorarán su agilidad oral y comprensión auditiva en 6 intensos días con el método Vaughan. El programa tendrá lugar en un colegio mayor e incluye alojamiento en la habitación individual con baño privado, pensión completa, material didáctico de Vaughan y, por supuesto, nuestro equipo de profesores de Vaughan. Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. Beat for Teens, de Vaughan.
You're listening. Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio. Lo que escuchas, Vaughan Radio.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Vaughan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años, en grupos de aproximadamente 10 niños por monitor. ¿Fechas? Tienes para elegir. Del 18 al 24 de julio, o del 25 al 31 de julio, como prefieras. Los entrenamientos tendrán lugar en las modernas instalaciones del Centro Deportivo Wanda Alcalá de Henares, sede de la Academia del Atlético de Madrid. Y el alojamiento será en habitaciones individuales con baño privado en el Colegio Mayor Aquinas, en la ciudad universitaria de Madrid. Ven a aprender inglés con el campeón de liga, el Atlético de Madrid, y el campeón del inglés, Vaughan. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupobaughan.com e infórmate. Inglés y fútbol, con Vaughan y el Atleti.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello again and welcome back to our second half hour. Today's Monday, by the way, in case you don't know, in case you're waking up. Por si estás levantándote ahora. In case you're waking up right now. Welcome to Monday, the first day of the working week. Wow. Let's all celebrate the fact that we're beginning a working week. Because without working weeks, you can never become a dynamic, successful, high-energy achiever. That's the one I'm looking for, the word achiever. Logrador. Se dice en inglés mucho achiever. So if you want to become a high-energy, successful achiever in life, the most important day is Monday. Yes, sir. So, welcome to the world of success and achievement. Welcome to my world, to your world, to our world, to everybody's world of doing good deeds, getting things done in a positive and legitimate way. Illegitimate ways don't count. So, here we are in the second half hour. If you missed the last half hour, well, you've missed it forever. Although you can go back and listen to it tonight, because this program, the section from 7:30 to 8:30 that you missed, that you have just missed, que acabas de perder, that you have just missed, or that you just missed, que acabas de perder, que justo perdiste o justo has perdido. You can say both. You have just missed and that you just missed will be repeated this evening at 8 p.m. from 8 to 8:30. And if you missed that as well, well, you can go to iVoox, and watch it again. Or listen to it. Listen to it again. Siempre tú con listen, eh? All right. Were the ancient Greeks experts in aviation? No, they weren't. Is weightlifting an Olympic sport? Yes, it is. Does a revolver have a trigger? Yes, it does. Can water penetrate rocks or penetrate through rocks? Some rocks, yes, it can. Does it take a long time to master a second language? Yes, it does. Are you a plumber? No, I'm not. Is baseball the most popular sport in Venezuela? Yes, it is. Do you have trouble sleeping on planes? Yes, I do. Should you proofread your documents before sending them? Yes, you should, or yes, I should. Everybody should. All right. Let's go back. Were the ancient Greeks experts in aviation? No, they weren't. Un español diría, no, they weren't. Native people don't say, no, they. Day is día, un día. They weren't, they weren't. Were the ancient Greeks experts in aviation? No, they weren't. They were experts in other things. Really? Yes, the ancient Greeks. Yes. What were they expert in? Wow. They were expert in philosophy. They were expert in sculpture. They were expert in military arts, in strategy and skills. They were expert in government, politics. They developed the concept of democracy. They were expert in oratory. They were expert in in creating stories of mythology. They were expert in architecture, the Parthenon, the Acropolis, and other majestic monuments. They were expert in everything except aviation. They were expert in seafaring. Seafaring means, well, I don't know how to say seafaring. I've never taught that word. I have encountered a word I have never taught in my life. Seafaring. Seafare. Faire means affaire in French. Faire. But seafare, seafaring. Let me see. Let's go into word reference and see what this seafaring means. Navigación. Seafaring. And see what we can find. Maris. Seafaring. Como adjetivo. Marine. Marinero, marítimo, marino. David's dream is to own a seafaring vessel. El sueño de vida es ser dueño de un barco marinero. And to go on adventures. All right. Seafaring. Navigación. In the old days, seafaring was one of the few occupations open to men of all races. En aquellos días, la navegación. Seafaring. Gente de mar. Seafaring people. Seafaring, seafarers. Yes, seafarers. The Galicians are seafaring people. The Onubenses, the people in Huelva as well, are seafaring people. The people in Murcia are seafaring people. In Cartagena, yes, seafaring. But the most famous seafaring people were the Phoenicians, los Fenicios. 3,000 years ago, they were daring seafarers. And the Greeks as well. They were experts in seafaring activities. They were experts in sculpture. A lot of things. Military arts. You name it. Quite an interesting culture, the Greeks. And to tell you the truth, the splendorous moments of their civilization covered less than 100 years. The golden age of Greece. The Golden Age of Greece was basically from, let's say, 480 B.C. to probably 400, 80 years. From 480 B.C. to 400 B.C. What happened during those years? Well, from 480 B.C. or 490, We had Aeschylus, Sophocles, and Euripides. Aeschylo, Sophocles, and Euripides. Aeschylus, Sophocles, and the tragedians, the famous Greek playwrights. Dramatic arts were developed also during that period, those 80 years, from 480 B.C. to the year 400, you had the comedian Aristophanes, comical theater. At the same time, you had Pericles during the golden age of Athens, who oversaw the development of the Acropolis in Athens after the destruction of Athens. Athens was destroyed by the Persians in 480 B.C., by Xerxes and his Persian troops. But Athens managed, together with the help, well, at first Athens managed almost single-handedly to defeat the Persian fleet in the Battle of Salamis. And then the following spring, the remnants of Xerxes' army were defeated by different Greek city-states working together. The Battle of Plataea, creo que se llamaba. Plataea, I think that's it. I'm trying to remember the names of some of the battles. Let me see if I can find it, if I'm right. Because I'm saying the Battle of Plataea was between the Spartans, Athenians, Corinthians, etc., against the Persians. Battle of Plataea. ¿Cómo suena Plataea? All right, the Battle of Plataea. During the Second Persian Invasion, correct, it took place in 479 B.C., yes, the following spring, near the city of Plataea in Boeotia. It was fought between an alliance of Greek city-states, Sparta, Athens, Corinth, Megara, and the Persian Empire of Xerxes, allied with Boeotians, Thessalians, and Macedonians. Toma, I didn't know that. Yes. Wow. So it was an interesting battle. But the Greeks defeated them resoundingly. Yes. Resoundingly. So, the according to Herodotus, and you can't believe Herodotus, Herodoto, the Persians lost 400,000 troops. 400,000. Modern historians estimate between 50,000 and 90,000. Nevertheless, that's a lot of people to die in one single battle. And I've never studied that battle, but it was a very important battle because that was the last time the Persians tried to conquer Greece. Wow. I have a strange cough. But in any case, let's get back. So, were the ancient Greeks experts in aviation? No, they weren't. They were experts in almost everything else. But they were not experts in aviation. They were not experts in English teaching. They weren't experts in Formula One race car driving. And they weren't experts in modern art and rock music. But they were experts in a lot of things. Quite an interesting culture. Is weightlifting an Olympic sport? Yes, it is. More and more sports are becoming Olympic sports. Baseball now is an Olympic sport. And I think Frisbee is going to become an Olympic sport. Frisbee. You know, these little I don't know, I think you say Frisbee in Spanish. Is Frisbee an Olympic sport? I think it's Ultimate Frisbee is one of the 37 sports that are recognized by the International Olympic Committee, but not part of the Olympic Games. All right. Which means probably in the future it will be. All right. Ultimate sports. Yes. Frisbee. That's interesting. When I was a teenager. Well, really, frisbee throwing became popular when I was in college. I would say frisbees became popular around 1970. But I don't really know. The frisbee. A frisbee. In Spanish, how do you say it? In Espanol se llama? Frisbee. 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 All right. Es un plato volador, disco volador. It's interesting. Okay, when did it start? History. The frisbee was invented in 1937. Well, a long time ago. My father was only 13 when the frisbee was invented. Because Frederick Morrison and his future wife Lucille had fun tossing a popcorn can lid after a Thanksgiving dinner. They soon discovered a market for a light-duty flying disc. All right. But when did it really become popular? Because I don't remember in high school playing with Frisbees. I don't remember. I think it was around 1970. But I could be wrong, at least in my neck of the woods. Por mis pagos, in my neck of the woods, Frisbee didn't become popular until about 1970. All right. The first Canadian Open Frisbee Championship was in 1972. So, but I'm talking about Olympic sports and not about Frisbees. I'm talking about weightlifting. Halterofilia. I don't know if it's masculine or feminine. To tell you the truth, I'm going to try to find out. alterofilia. Nombre femenino. Okay, it's la alterofilia. Weightlifting. O sea, levantar pesas. Weightlifting. Yes, sir. Why do you call it alterofilia? I mean, what's the reason for this? Deporte olímpico de levantamiento de peso. All right. Now, weightlifting. Why is it called? It must come from Greek or from Latin. Altero. Somebody will write me an email saying, explaining in 3 pages. That happens sometimes. When I start speculating on a word, I'm simply talking for the sake of talking. I'm not really interested to tell you the truth in the etymology of the word alterofilia in Spanish. I don't care. But I like to talk about it on the air because it fills up time for your listening comprehension. Because talking about alterofilia, I have already said 300 words in English connected with correct grammar. So it's very good for your ear and very good for absorbing, consciously or unconsciously, the structures of the English language. But somebody's going to write me a 3-page essay on the origins of alterofilia and the etymology of the word. And I don't really care, but I appreciate it. People taking the time. I mean, you have some interesting words here. Yeah, mancuernas. Mancuernas. You know, these words, dumbbells. A dumbbell. Strange word in English. Parece campana tonta. Dumb, D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B means tonto. Tonto de pocas luces. Usually we say stupid. Maybe 80% of the time and 20% of the time we say dumb. My sister called me dummerd when I was 9 and 10 years old. Hello, dummerd. Mom, dummerd wants to... Oh, I was called dummerd. All right, which is okay. But dumbbell, mancuerna. Una mancuerna, exactamente qué es? I mean, just the Spanish definition. Para que de animales o cosas. Mancuerna de mulas. Okay, fine. Pesa de mano que se utiliza en alterofilia. Levantar mancuernas de 10 kilos. All right. Very good. Those are dumbbells. Barbell. Barbell, B-A-R-B-E-L-L. Barbell is las pesas. Altera. Pesas, barbell. It's interesting. These are new words for me. Altera. En el alterofilia, barra metálica con una bola o con discos en cada extremo. All right. Con una bola o discos en cada extremo. That's a barbell. Una altera. I suppose it's feminine, yes. Altera. Never heard it in my life. But we can say, but in English, yes, we talk about, if you go to a gym, the two most common objects that you find are barbells and dumbbells. Barbells and dumbbells. En ambos casos, la palabra bell, B-E-L-L, como campana. Barbell, you grasp with both hands on the bar and push it up, or if you're bench pressing, push it up as well. Whereas dumbbells, you hold a different one in each hand, mancuernas. I like the word mancuerna. Sounds strange. Parece un animal. But it's not. Una mancuerna. Okay, weightlifting. Weightlifting. It's interesting. They're weightlifting champions for different weights. Even female weightlifting for very small ladies. I know one lady who was an Olympic weightlifter. And she probably weighs 55 kilos. She's maybe 1 meter 62 and weighs 55 kilos. And she was an Olympic weightlifter. I don't remember if she went to Atlanta. I don't remember. Long time ago. But can you imagine a girl, 55 kilos, 1 meter 60, and she's lifting weights in the Olympics? But that's what they have, female weightlifting categories. I mean, we can find it. Female, weight lifting categories, and we'll find it. Yeah. For me, look, 45 kilograms, non-Olympic. It's too small to be Olympic. But start for Olympic is 49 kilos. Can you imagine a girl, 49 kilos, lifting weights in the Summer Olympics? Then 55 kilos, 59, 64, 76. All right. And for Olympic weightlifting, the heaviest weight is 76 kilos. Yes. Although there are other weights, but they're not Olympic weights. My God, I never dreamed I would be talking about the weightlifting categories for females. Weightlifting. It's an Olympic sport. Well, it's an interesting. I'm not really crazy about weightlifting. I do it for health, but not for... I don't agree with it very much as a competition. Because for me, it deforms your body. These weightlifters are just... their bodies are prepared for weightlifting. It's a bit like the Basques with the levantamiento de la piedra or something. I can't remember what it's called. The Basque stone lifting. There's a word for that. Basque stone lifting. What's it called in Spanish? Basque stone lifting. Harry Jasotzea. Basque stone lifting. I don't know what it's called in Spanish. Let's see. Refers to popular sport. All right. Let's see if I can find a Spanish levantamiento de piedras. All right. This Basque sport. These Basque sports go back to the Stone Age. You know, they go back 10,000 years. They say that the Basques didn't undergo Romanization. And so the Basques skipped one period of development. But nevertheless, the Basques are very intelligent. Really, the despite all the complaints in the rest of Spain because of the Basques, the Basque desire for greater independence, their government works quite well and the standard of living is very good. So they are hardworking people and intelligent people. But the Andaluces are also intelligent people and very hardworking if they have good leadership. The problem is in Andalusia and many other parts of Spain, there isn't very good leadership. When you don't have a good leader, you don't have good followers. So you need to... countries need to find ways of generating, producing, and supporting the creation of good leaders. But some people want to be leaders and they're really not, qualified. But because they have a burning desire to be leaders and are strong in other ways, they make it more difficult for the natural leader to reach the top. Yes. But that's that gets into political science. Fascinating field on how to lead people in the best way. All right, so weightlifting, yes, weightlifting is an Olympic sport. Does a revolver have a trigger? Well, of course. If it didn't have a trigger, you couldn't use it. A revolver or a pistol or a rifle or a machine gun, whatever, they all require triggers. It's interesting, they all have triggers. I would think that technology today would allow for just a push button. You just push a button and it shoots. However, as far as I know, all firearms, armas de fuego, continue to have triggers. Trigger, T-R-I-G-G-E-R, triggers, gatillo. Strange word, gato pequeño, no, gatillo, you say. Now, trigger... it's interesting because the verb to trigger means to activate. Sí, si tomas una decisión de ese tipo, podría activar una huelga, o sea, ocasionar, traer. It could trigger a strike. Let's see what word reference says for the verb to trigger. T-R-I-G-G-E-R, trigger. 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 No viene. I'm in the Spanish section. Oh, let's see. Gatillo. Eso me dará trigger. Gatillo. All right. In English, trigger. Trigger, trigger, trigger. Now, trigger, I repeat, is gatillo. Trigger time is desencadenar. Ah, mejor que activar, claro. The assassination of the Archduke triggered the First World War. True. El asesinato del Archiduque desencadenó la Primera Guerra Mundial. Trigger. Now, a trigger could also be un disparador, un detonante, un mecanismo de control. All right, the trigger. El desencadenante. Yes, it was a trigger. The trigger for the war was the assassination of the Archduke. Trigger. All right. Trigger happy. A ver si viene aquí. Trigger happy. Que dispara ante la más mínima situación. Ser feliz con el gatillo. Trigger happy. I'll be right back.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Vaughan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Inglés y fútbol, con Vaughan y el Atleti. Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833. ¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Vaughan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening y speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que... pues que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3... Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
A Vaughan English class is not the same as other English classes. In a Vaughan English class, time is optimized to the max. Every minute counts for your company. Every minute counts for your English. It's all a question of mathematics. The more you practice key structures of the language in every class, the more confident you will be when you use them in real life. And the more effective you will be as a communicator in English. And in this global world of ours, communicating effectively is absolutely key to success. By means of face-to-face classes or video conference classes, Vaughan will make all the difference for your English. And you will make all the difference for your company.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid en el 911335831.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan. Sí, ya está abierta. Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te puede ayudar a mejorar tu inglés. Con libros especializados en speaking, listening, grammar, vocabulary... Si quieres, te podemos hacer directamente un plan de estudio para que lo puedas hacer en tu casa. Y mejorar esas pequeñas cositas del inglés que tanto te cuestan con los mejores libros de enseñanza de inglés del mercado. No, no exageramos. Tenemos los mejores libros. Ven a comprobarlo a la tienda de Vaughan. Estamos en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75, esquina con Sor Ángela de la Cruz. De lunes a jueves de 10 a 6 y media y los viernes hasta las 5 y media. Y si vives fuera de Madrid o prefieres contactar con nosotros por teléfono, llámanos al 91-445-5844. La tienda Vaughan. Te asesoramos en lo que necesites.
Con el curso online de Vaughan sacarás el inglés que llevas dentro. Adaptado a tus horarios, flexible y con todos los contenidos del método Vaughan. Y con nuestros profesores siempre disponibles. Contrátalo ahora con toda comodidad. Entra en curso online en grupovaughan.com. Haz clic en curso online en grupovaughan.com.
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home just wondering what to do? Well, why don't you sign up for Vaughn's English class via video conference? That's right. Now you can have the best teachers in the comfort of your own home. You'll get personalized attention because there's a maximum of only 6 students per class. Give us a call, 91-133-5831. Learn English with Vaughn via video conference classes. Sign up now.
Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91 133 5.